Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by Grove.co, ClassPass, and Imperfect Foods. And we are super happy to have them on board making our show a possibility. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
What the heck?
Jamie, what is that? Is that Orion?
That's Orion. That's Orion's new favorite saying that we try not to laugh when he does it, but it's so funny.
In what context does he use that?
All the time. Like, he actually understands how to use it. So, like, you'll be like, Orion, you got to go to sleep like a big boy tonight. You got to fall asleep on your own. And he'll turn, first he does a what? And he turns his head to you, and then he goes, what the heck? And then it's really funny. So
what the heck?
That's the best. All right.
So that's going to be a new soundbite.
Oh my God.
On our podcast.
Whenever Jamie says something dumb, we're going to use it.
Whoa. Whenever anything happens.
Okay. So before we get into, things.
I'm having trouble reading the screen because we're in our little office.
So tiny.
And I have to look around the microphone to see. So go ahead.
And if you saw on social media last week, you can see that I made DIY sound dampeners because our office is all glassy. And it's like a giant board that I found on the street with a Dora towel stapled onto it and a butterfly stapled onto it.
It's beautiful. I don't understand why the butterfly is there. And then she also made a handle for it.
I made a handle.
So it's Subway friendly.
Genius. Mm-hmm. It's genius. I was like targeting my dad or channeling my dad there. Anyway, like you can see that on social media. And what's interesting is that we are doing a social media giveaway.
We
on
are.
Instagram. We're giving away some Ovaries Talk swag.
Swag.
What are we giving away, Jamie?
Well, a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
A mug.
Uh-huh.
Some stickers.
Uh-huh.
You know
and
you want it.
We also have a pin.
A pin. Yes. So you get some stickers and a pin. No, actually, they're really cool. They're great. You want one. And if you want them all.
If you want to win that, you just need to enter. Follow us on Instagram, simple. Which is ovaries_talk. And we're between now and the end of January.
The end of January. And January goes all the way to the 31st. So you've got some time.
Is that true?
It is, doesn't it? Doesn't January? Yeah, it does. It does. It has 31 days.
FYI, you guys, Jamie is cradling the award we won last year, they sent it to us. And we just
got
like
it in.
Cradling it. She just like won't put it down.
I am holding it right
There's
now.
There's also a video of that on our social of Jamie like walking around our new office space.
With the award. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So, that's another thing Orion says now. Wow. Beautiful. He walks outside and goes, wow. Beautiful. It's
really. Yeah, yeah, and by contrast, when one of my last days at Spotify, I had my kids in there while I was cleaning out. Henry took, and there was like a suggestion box. It mm-hmm. said, "What's on your mind?" And Maxine took the card out that Henry put in there. And you want to know what it said?
What?
What's on my mind is my asshole.
That's the age difference there. 2 years old versus eight. What is he? Eight, nine?
Eight, almost nine. Okay, guys. So before we get to our guest, mm-hmm. If you want to join our Patreon community, mm-hmm. we have got this week's guest, who is, by the way, Kathy Two from Nancy.
Kathy Two, you guys.
And we have some bonus content of Kathy, mm-hmm. Video content of her talking about the start of the podcast Nancy and mm-hmm. how she pitched it and how it made her want to throw up. And that's going to be on Patreon. So if you want to join our community, it's at
patreon.com/ovariestalk.
Right.
And if you haven't listened to the Nancy podcast, you should go over there and check it out.
It's amazing.
It's a really good, it's an LGBTQ.
Everybody's listened to it.
I mean, if you listen to us, you probably listened to Nancy.
Yeah, we stand on the shoulders of Nancy.
I don't know about the shoulders, maybe the toes, the pinky toe.
Oh yeah, that does imply we're better than them. We're
They're like the pinky toe.
Sorry, Kathy, too.
We're like attached to the knee.
Sorry, Tobin.
Attached to the nose.
We have like one of those like those harnesses that you put on babies. I was never a harness parent, but that's what we are.
No.
Like what we sneakily put it on them when they weren't looking.
Yeah.
How do you like that for an analogy?
I get it.
Well, this week's guest, we just talked Nancy, mm-hmm. Kathy too, and we said she doesn't need much of an intro.
She's a co-host, co-managing editor of Nancy.
We're so good.
I have my award in my arms, so.
Put it down. Let's just get Kathy in here,
Come
shall
on,
we?
Kathy.
Before we wreck this intro.
Kathy, anymore. Come here.
So creepy. Stop saying come here.
Gross.
Guys, we have Kathy Two.
Hi, Kathy
in
Two.
Here with us.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're a star.
Wait, I
have to tell you. So when it's not the first time I met you, but when we went out and had like a little breakfast,
yes.
We were chatting and I was picking, you know, her brain about everything that and anything that we should be doing that we're not doing and all that. And at the end, some guy just sort of like slunk over. We were done, thankfully. Yeah. But he was like, I'm sorry, but are you Kathy from the Nancy podcast?
Okay, wait. To be fair, we were in a queer cafe. So, okay.
I was in a queer cafe.
She's on a queer podcast, too. She didn't get recognized.
He didn't go, and are you Robin from 50s Ovaries Could Talk? He was just like, Kathy.
Yeah, he didn't want anything to do with Robin.
No,
and I was just like,
we don't get
bye.
Recognized.
No, bye. And then how long were you chatting with him?
I guess she left you.
Well, she did. Yeah.
By the way, I emailed her after and I said, I'm super sorry.
I appreciated that.
I said, I realize I just backed out. So we ask everyone, tell us the elevator pitch about you and your family.
My family is from Taiwan. We are an immigrant family, mostly in Southern California. I'm the only one who lives in New York. We're not super close.
Interesting.
In fact, I think maybe I talked to my brother maybe 2 months ago. Three months ago. And I only really talked to my sister recently because she had a baby.
That's
felt
nice.
Like you should probably get in on that.
Yeah, I was like, how's the gestational diabetes going?
Feeling any better?
Yeah, I sent her some books that
Has
people
the
recommended.
Swelling gone down?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then my family in New York is basically me and my girlfriend and our dog, Bowie, who is a joy in my life when she's not being an asshole. Even when she's an asshole.
Yeah.
I love her a lot.
Love our dogs, right?
It's really an issue. It's a problem.
How much like, you love your
you
dog?
Love the yeah. dog too much?
I get it. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like dogs are the precursor to kids and people like take the dog in to see how they'll do.
That's what we did. I don't recommend doing that.
Because then you end up with the kid and the dog.
Well, because then you have, and I have a neurotic dog like we were talking about earlier, and they're not really similar. So you're dealing with the dog now, plus the kids.
Huh.
And the dog has its own weird needs, like being, you know, having to go out in the middle of the night to be pooped.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And if you add that to like late night baby feedings, like that's like, not something I'm taking on.
Yeah. For instance, my baby was up last night from 2 to 4.
Oh, no.
So luckily the dog didn't have to go to. Yeah.
Little Kathy's all like, wait, that happens?
What? He's not feeling well. He has a cold. Poor guy. I think he had a sore throat, right. So he didn't, you know.
Jamie, did you make any New Year's resolutions this year?
Actually, Anne kind of made one for our whole family.
Yeah.
We're going more green in 2020.
Oh, look at
all
you,
natural,
man.
Taking care
good
of the earth,
human yep. and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know a really easy way that you can do that. Just Grove Collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
It's an online marketplace that delivers all natural home and beauty and personal care products directly to your door.
I really like that idea. We're really, really trying to reduce our single use plastic.
We are too.
Our single use plastics usage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just knew what you were going to say there.
Yeah. I mean, we already use the Grove Collaborative cleaning concentrate kit, and I love that it comes in this like glass pretty glass bottle. Yep. It's refillable. It's stylish, environmentally friendly. Like, it's great. We should actually start getting all of our products at grove.co. That company's doing good things. I think it's a good idea.
Listen, you know that I am a regular at Grove.co. Okay. I got to have my bath bombs. We talk about this regularly. I love their laundry starter set. It's an ultra concentrated detergent, reusable glass detergent dispenser and a stain remover. I mean, that's a $30 value for free. It's not a bad deal for going green.
No, it's really good. Going green is looking mighty pretty right now.
Okay. I don't know what that was. But I am going to say that their detergents do smell amazing. You can choose from unique scents like citrus and woods and lavender and rosemary, or free and clear for those of you who like unscented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, of course, I'm all day, all lavender and rosemary.
I would do that too.
Yeah.
And for a limited time, our listeners get all of this free with your first purchase.
What?
Yes. With fast and free shipping on your first order. Going sustainable has never been easier, folks. Join us and the over 2 million households who have shopped at Grove.co for their healthy, sustainable home essentials.
Look, make your laundry more sustainable this
year. It's
a good
idea.
Now, for a limited time, when our listeners go to grove.co/OCT, you're going to get a free 3-piece set from Grove so that you can start reducing your plastic waste. Plus, you get free shipping and a free 60-day VIP trial.
That's great. Go to grove.co/OCT to get this exclusive laundry set offer. I'm going. Yes. I'm going right now.
I'm doing laundry right now, Jamie.
I don't want to do my laundry. We're going to get, so you don't have any kids right now.
No kids.
Like, we are going to start. I got a dog.
We are going to, and we're going to get into that a little later, but I want to talk to you about your podcast because you also have a co-host.
Yes, Tobin.
Tobin. Mm-hmm. So what's the dynamic between the two of you? Are you the Google Doc maker and Tobin is the frazzled one, or are you guys totally together?
We're generally both just slightly frazzled.
I think that is the podcast
but I
world.
Think we generally have a very similar I don't know. What's the word for what I'm trying to talk about?
Like approach to work? Or do you mean like general?
Like frazzleness.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're on the same like.
I feel like we're pretty frequency. Much the same. But yeah. I am definitely better at the organization and like the detail oriented work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to-do lists and that sort of thing. And Tobin is a lot more like big picture ideas. Like we should move in this direction. What about this? Let's try that. And it translates into the making of our show. We're a narrative show that usually has like, I don't know, at least two voices in every episode, sometimes up to like 5 or 6 voices. There's sound design. And so for like a story, Tobin's really, really good at story structure, figuring out the language to really transition from scene to scene.
Yep.
And I am much better at like fixing like a breath that sounds wrong or like something's too loud and needs to be leveled. to the right place. So like it really kind of like we together become like one super producer.
Nice. That's great.
So well,
and you also have the support of WNYC and the network. Yes. And that's nice too.
Yes.
So yeah. I love your podcast.
Thank you.
Tell us like what kind of stories you cover on your podcast. What are you guys about?
Can you tell us anything that's coming up in the new season? Mm-hmm.
Or are we giving sure. Away?
It's all things LGBTQ.
Yes. Well, just to back up, before I knew that podcasting could be a career, mm-hmm. I listened to a lot of shows. I listened to This American Life, to Radiolab, and Tobin listened to the same shows. And these are the shows that we like. They're storytelling in a way that just like make it, to me, kind of feels like you're watching a movie, but in your head mm-hmm. while mm-hmm. you're, and the thing I loved about podcasts is you could do so many other things while it's happening.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of stories that we love. So then when we decided to put a show together, that's the kind of storytelling we wanted to do, but we wanted to feature queer people telling the queer stories. So that's sort of where we ended up creating for Nancy. So we've got, what have we done? We've done like over 80 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
point.
A lot.
It's a lot. Some of them are like featuring other shows that we really like. Sometimes we partner with outside producers. Like we had somebody bring in a story about a teenager who wanted to go to prom in drag. So we hooked that person up with Alaska Thunderfuck just to like mentor him.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and that was great.
That's fun.
We went back to Orlando just to kind of see how recovery was going mm-hmm. for the queer communities there. That was a very difficult episode to put together.
Yeah.
Our former superstar producer, Matt Collette, he had a gripe with J.K. Rowling. Rowling. Yeah. Yes.
Why? What was the gripe?
Because she just claimed that Dumbledore was gay.
Just out of the blue?
After the fact.
Yeah.
Long after the books were done, there was nothing in the book to support it. There was nothing in the text. It was a very, like, almost felt like she was just taking a liberal stance on something because she's very, very liberal.
Yeah, yeah.
She said it was always in her head. But it felt after the fact.
You could have like
the Grindelwald thing
squeezed it in there a little bit more.
Yeah. Hmm.
So,
Did she respond?
No, she never responded. But the funny thing is, Matt did this whole episode about how he doesn't believe Dumbledore is actually gay because there's no receipts.
Right.
And
I got the receipt.
Yeah. And then after that episode, we went out. We got so many like angry listener messages.
Oh yeah.
That
because
was our
people,
most
because Harry Potter fans are
Harry Potter yeah, fans.
Yeah, you can't fuck hard. With Harry Potter.
Can be a little bit
I mean,
insane.
One of them.
I'm a very big Harry Potter fan.
I also love Harry Potter.
I love Harry Potter too.
Online at midnight to get the book.
That's a problem.
Glasses. Like Harry Potter glasses on.
Yeah. I respect that.
Thank you.
Right. So, I don't.
By the way, my wife and I, just the last book, my wife and I, this was like early in our relationship, had one of these fights. She didn't want to be there, but she came with me. And I was like, listen, you didn't have to come. You knew this was important to me. I love that you wanted to be here, but only be here. I was like, because you're ruining this for me.
Oh,
and this is
God.
Book seven. It was like,
it
was that.
Oh my God.
And we still talk about it. And to this day, we talk about it as
the
like,
Harry
are
Potter
you doing
fight?
Harry Potter? No, we talk about it more like, don't do Harry Potter. Don't come if you don't want to come because this is really important to me. So it was like an important fight.
Wow.
It was a helpful fight.
Wow.
I mean, sometimes there's helpful fights.
Yeah.
Well, so our listeners ended up tagging J.K. Rowling in a lot of things, but she never responded.
Mm-hmm.
But
we got to get that Rowling. To J.K. Yeah. We need to have her talk. She's good at talking.
Is she? I don't know.
I mean,
know.
I just feel like she's always, I feel like she's like all over the social. So
she is.
She is.
Anyway.
That's right.
She was like, I can't with you. So on your podcast, your mom comes on a lot.
Mm. Right. Well, three times.
I mean, to me, that's a lot.
Yeah. And she says never again.
Does she? She says never again?
After every time.
We're talking about like the whole like baby and families thing. I mean, I guess before we get to your mom, I'm curious like where you are in, you know, you're a young queer woman with a girlfriend.
Yes.
And so like we've been talking a lot lately about how, you know, we now have this like big field and this like we can all have babies now and everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that puts pressure on you? Like, because you're at the age where people could be talking about marriage, people could be like about like a baby conversation. Where are you guys on that?
I don't know if this is not interesting at all, but I've never really felt pressure to have kids, probably because I never saw myself having kids.
Well, a lot of people that we talk to on the podcast, a lot of them say that same thing.
Oh.
And now they have kids.
Interesting.
But that's because they were older.
They were old. Or no, also just because a lot of them talk about having gender stuff growing up and they never really saw themselves in a mother role.
Yeah.
There's a myriad of reasons why.
Yeah. I mean, I think originally it was people who were maybe like at the time didn't think it was a possibility for them.
Right. And there's that.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, now I can.
Yeah.
Did you always feel like you could if you wanted to? You just never even thought about it.
I think I maybe don't place as much, I don't know if it's like sacredness, is that a word?
Sure.
Yeah, it works.
Don't ask us if it's
a word. Sort of sacredness in like a blood connection, just because my family's not that close.
Right.
So like I care about my family, but for like a good chunk of my life, I felt like my friends were closer to me and more family than maybe my actual family.
Yep.
And so maybe because of that, I've never really felt like I needed to have like kids to feel like that's what I had to do as an adult, or that the fact that we can or cannot do it, the possibility of it also never really popped into my head.
Because it was not really on your radar to begin with.
Yeah. And I always, to me, I think I was always like, if I really did want to have kids, I don't feel limited by age either, because to me, I could always adopt if I really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I remember bringing that up.
Until you got to try to bend over and you're like, oh, I'm going to pick this baby up off the floor.
I remember telling that, like just bringing up the idea of adoption to my, maybe it was my mom or somebody. I can't remember now. An adult. it was either my mom or like my mom's friend. I can't remember who it was. And they were kind of like, oh yeah, that's, everybody likes the idea of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Few people actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my mom's friend was like, but it's always better to have your own, like, because you know, the genes. And something about what she said really rubbed me the wrong way. And I still don't really quite know what it is about it. I just, to me, don't think that it's true. I think to me, it's fine either way. Yeah. So I've never really quite thought too much about having my own kids. And also, I think this really played a role. When I was in college, late college and onwards, I was an egg donor a few times.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know this.
Yeah, yeah.
A few times, yeah.
Twice. Once just like to a random person. Is that right? Sorry, it was like such a long time ago.
Through an agency.
Through an agency. Yeah.
So you went to an agency and...
How did you...
Yeah,
get,
it was...
How did that happen?
I know. And how did you forget about it? You're like, it's all just clicking back to me.
I'm on this podcast. Oh, right.
I did this.
We talk about egg donors all the time, Kat.
Like, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hilarious. Jamie, can you grab that pencil for me, please?
That one? Seriously, it's right next to you.
No, but I can barely move my arms. I am so crazy sore from that kickboxing class that I took yesterday with my ClassPass membership.
I love ClassPass, the all-access membership to over 30,000 of the best gyms and fitness studios all over the world.
Oh my God, I know. You tell me this all the time. You're like a walking advertisement for ClassPass.
Because I think it's brilliant. You can try new workouts in studios without a commitment to a single gym. And you don't have to pay an arm and a leg for a single drop-in class. It's brilliant. You don't have to pay single drop-in classes cost so much.
I know, but listen, I'm liking it too. I'm liking like the accountability because if I sign up for a class in advance, like my kickboxing class, I'm just more likely to go. It incentivizes me.
I get it.
Of course, I shouldn't have had that bottle of wine the night before the kickboxing class, but whatever. I still went.
You went. It's the best. It really is. You can go where you want, when you want, how you want. I mean, ClassPass is everything you need to make working out fun, Robin. I take a running class on Monday. Tuesday is strength training. Wednesday is boxing. Thursday is yoga.
I think you have a problem.
Friday is dance. And they're all at different studios, so I never get bored. Sometimes I switch it up and take spin or bar. Like, I'm all over the place. Sky's the limit.
Can you please calm yourself down, okay? We get it. You love it.
I do.
They've got something from everyone. They do. It's near your work. It's near your house. I mean, ClassPass is everywhere, and that's I do love that. And it's a monthly membership that starts at $15.
$15?
And you can cancel at any time. You can mix it up, find the perfect studios, classes, just for you, whatever you need. Okay. I've been doing that as well, Jamie.
I know. I'm proud of you. We should do a class together.
All right, maybe.
Let's do a class together, like a dance class.
I said maybe.
Okay. So, for all you listeners out there with New Year's resolutions, get your first month free at classpass.com/New Year's. Let's all meet at ClassPass, guys.
Don't meet Jamie at ClassPass, guys. Okay, that's classpass.com/New Year's for your first month free.
ClassPass.com/New Year's for your first month free.
Wow.
Wait, so how did this happen?
So I was asked.
Babies.
There are babies out there.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
You don't need
I didn't
to do
I didn't choose that to find out.
Right.
Okay. But I was asked to do it once.
By who?
By like a friend's, she called it like an estranged sister or something like that.
Okay. Oh, like from an actual person saying, can I have your eggs to make a baby?
Kind of a thing, yeah. But then they wanted to do it more like officially. So we went through an agency.
Which is better.
Yeah.
So otherwise you have a baby that you're paying for.
You know exactly who it went to.
Not really. Like I haven't talked to them like since that happened.
But it went to those people.
I think it went to those people, yeah.
How did you
know? I never even met them.
How did you know these people and why did they ask you?
So it was like an acquaintance of mine, and then they're like extended. I think they were asking a few people.
Okay.
And then I was one of them like, okay, yeah, I'll go and do the test.
You met their criteria or whatever they were looking for.
Yes. They were an Asian, Asian couple.
So you're like the most selfless person in the world. You weren't one of those people who was just like, I want $6,000. You were just like, of course I'll go see if I could do that.
Well, I didn't even know that was an option though, until I went.
What, to get paid?
Yeah. I didn't know there was a fee. So then
you were going to do it even without the fee?
No. So they asked me to do it. And then they're like, we want to go through an agency. And I didn't know what was involved.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I went to like the agency website to look at what was involved. And then I saw there was also a fee attached. But so I was kind of like, do I want to do this for the money? Or am I doing this because like, anyway, it triggered my memory about egg donation because I don't feel connected to like...
You don't feel like those are your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
The genetics of it. It's just something you did.
Exactly.
And you never felt it. It was never even a dilemma for you.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. So like that part, I was fine.
It was like donating
a
kidney to someone.
Kind of. Yeah. So we went through an agency and then I guess my profile was active.
Oh, because now you're in their system.
Yeah. And I just didn't think.
It's like LinkedIn, you didn't turn it off.
How old were you at this point?
21, 22. Uh-huh. And I think they actually took a chance because I had never gotten pregnant at that point. So they had no idea whether or not I could.
Right. Yeah.
But they did all the tests and they were cool with it. And then somebody else wanted, like they saw my profile and they wanted me to be a donor. And then we did that couple twice. And I have no idea whether it's because the first time wasn't good or if they wanted a sibling. I have no idea. So
wow,
you got a lot of kids out there, Kathy, too.
Perhaps, but I don't.
Well, you have there's a lot of genetic material of yours out there.
Yeah. They don't feel like my kids.
No,
actually, it'd be cool to meet one.
Well,
one
I was just
day,
gonna but, say, yeah. But what about yeah. like so one of my sperm donors, because my kids have different ones.
Yeah.
One of the moms, because we know each other, and this is sorry, it takes a minute to get to this, but one of the moms swabbed her kids and found our donor because we had so. Are you like, are you concerned that you're going to do 23andMe or?
I've already done 23andMe.
So they could find you, you know.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with it. Oh, it'd be lovely to be friends with them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, at some point I think that will probably happen.
Yeah. I don't, to me, it just doesn't seem like a big deal. Like, I don't know why it's so like.
Well, you've put it in a box. Like for you, it's genetic material that you handed to help someone.
Right.
But when the kid at 18 on your door that, I mean, they're like, you're my genetic mother.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that'll be.
To me, I've actually played out that scenario before. And I'd be like, yeah, cool.
But you
and
still.
And then I'm like, okay, do we want to go get lunch or do you want to.
Should we get a coffee?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it sounds like you put it in a box per se. I feel like it's like.
It's just kind of how I. Yeah, I don't
there's
know.
Just you just have no connection to it.
Yeah, right.
Like
right,
it's
right.
not a big. A lot of people make a big deal. Like I would make a big deal out of handing over
too.
My eggs because I'd be like, oh my god, this is my baby. This could be my baby one day.
Yeah. I'd be like walking down the street. Is that my baby?
Yeah, you don't put that much clout on this. It's
I know.
But
I know that my mom would freak out.
Does your mom know?
She has no
so
idea.
So she shouldn't listen to this.
She should not. Well, she won't. So there's no. There's 0% chance she will listen to this. Okay. She barely listens to my show, and actually, she doesn't.
So when you talk about
actually, she does.
When you talk about your family, and I think this ties in, were you never ever close, or were you close at some point and then you stopped getting close, or does this have to do
the
with
gay
the queer
thing?
Yeah,
queer, sorry.
I wonder if we would be closer if we spoke the same language.
What do you mean by that?
Like, My parents immigrated in their like late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, literally language.
Yeah. So
gotcha.
So their English isn't great. It's like really great for like my mom is a nurse. Like she can uh-huh. communicate, and they've been in the States for a long time now. Same with my dad. But they still at home speak to me in Mandarin, mm-hmm. Which is good in that I know some basic Mandarin. I'm mm-hmm. fluent to a certain degree. But
you're missing so much in the middle, like where you're not both fluent in the language.
Yeah.
Isn't Moonface about that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I speak like a first grader in Mandarin or a second grader. And I would say it's hard for me to communicate details and harder concepts.
Right.
And I think my parents can communicate that in Mandarin, but I don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
So we talk to each other all the time, just in like this weird Chinglish, where I start off in Mandarin and I have to end up in English because I can't finish the sentence yeah. in the right way. So I wonder if we would be closer. Definitely my brother would have an easier time communicating with my parents because he's 4 years younger than me. And my sister's 1 year older than me, and she has the most amount of Mandarin. Uh-huh. I'm the second, and my brother has the least amount. And I think he really has a hard time communicating with my parents.
That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. And I think my mom, if there's any regret of coming here, which they generally don't regret because, you know, they did it for the kids. They wanted us to go to a good school. They wanted us to have more opportunities. And all of those things happened. And what they lost was the ability to communicate and have kids that grew up in the culture that they grew up in. And I don't know that they thought about that before they moved.
It's a hard trade-off.
Well, yeah. What's a shame is, like, if it was maybe now, they could put you in a school that's, like, part Mandarin. Like, my kids, like, yeah. middle school is, like, they can take Mandarin for, they'll take Mandarin for half the year and then Spanish the other half, and then they can choose going up through high school.
Well,
there's all kinds of, like,
my community schools. That I grew up in, the city I grew up in was almost majority Asian. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Chinese school for like all of my life until I went to college.
And you're still in the same place you're at.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So there's only like so much we can get by not living in that environment.
Yeah.
You have to be immersed.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And then I ended up taking like a semester studying abroad in Taiwan, and my Mandarin got so good. I was reading books. I was like amazed at myself.
Yeah. Right.
Look at me.
Yeah.
And then you lost it or?
And then I came back and everybody says this, like, I'll keep up with it. But then you don't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, but my Mandarin got so good. And then I told my mom I wanted to go back to Taiwan and do like a master's. And she was like, we worked so hard to move here. Don't you dare go back for school.
Wow.
So interesting.
But there was nothing I could study there because it was going to all be in Mandarin.
Yeah, right. Then you'd be really good at Mandarin.
I would be so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're way better than we are at it.
Well,
like
my girlfriend is white from Buffalo and she's fluent in Mandarin.
She is? How'd she get fluent? What? I wish I spoke Mandarin. I would love to speak Mandarin.
It freaks me out every time I look at her.
But how did that happen?
She ended up teaching English in China for a couple years. Mm. And then she stayed to like work as a tutor for a Chinese family. And so after like 4.5 years, she's like
she just picked
fluent.
Up enough.
So do you talk Mandarin in your, what, do you guys live together?
We live together. It's weird. I could speak to her Mandarin, but I don't because it feels too weird to me.
You're from Buffalo.
Yeah, it's just like I will respond to her when she says things to me in Mandarin, and I will sometimes do it too. But it just like I think I need to be eased into it a little bit more.
Yeah,
it's like just so
Mandarin
weird.
Mondays. Like
yeah,
that.
like I can't speak Mandarin to any of my Taiwanese friends or to my brother or my sister. I can only do it to my parents or when I'm in Taiwan.
Interesting.
Amazing.
It's a weird language thing. I can't, it's a, yeah, it's, that's weird. My I thing wonder, about kids, I'm totally fine with, but language.
Donating eggs.
It runs
got
deep.
It. Jamie, guess what?
What?
I found a new food delivery service that I know you in particular are going to love.
It's
called Imperfect Foods. Because guess what? They're the only food delivery service and they buy all this like perfectly amazing food that the grocery stores won't sell. Like, you know, like if all the oranges are the same size in the grocery store, that means the small ones and the big ones, they just kick out. So you can buy them for a discount. You're saving money and you're reducing food waste.
I love that. But you know what, Robin, I already know about imperfect foods.
No, of course
you and do. All that waste. Like the oranges, it's so crazy how they right? don't take the oversized oranges.
Come on,
like,
I want your big oranges.
And they
oranges.
Throw it out.
Ridiculous.
Did you know that $218 billion of food goes to waste in this country that every thing. Year because of stuff like that?
Yeah.
Including 20 billion pounds of produce. Mm-hmm. All those beautiful vegetables.
Ridiculous.
That's what Imperfect Foods is here to change.
And you know what? Imperfect Foods also directly sources from the farmers and they're committed to quality. And that way you're going to pay 30% less than you would at a grocery
it's
store.
Crazy.
And look, I can't speak to the folks that don't live in cities, but our produce stinks.
We don't get the best produce.
We
all
don't.
The time.
I don't know
true.
What's happening, but it stinks. And Imperfect Foods sent me fantastic produce. Yeah. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the vegetarian box and I got so many beautiful vegetables. I got a box. I got different grains.
And you can add on to the box. Mm-hmm. I loved that.
Yeah,
it was so
because,
easy.
So they have flexible plans that let you pick healthy seasonal produce and you can also get grocery staples. Like I got like snack bags for the kids.
Sure.
So it's perfect. It's great.
Listen, you guys just start saving time and money and waste. I mean, enough right now because when you go to imperfectfoods.com/ovaries now through February 16th, you're going to get $10 off your next 4 orders.
Ooh,
that's ridiculous.
That's $40 off.
Yeah, that's total $40 off.
Yeah. So just go to imperfectfoods.com/ovaries to get $10 off your next 4 orders.
I'm going to say it again because I love me some Imperfect Foods so much. imperfectfoods.com/ovaries and enter ovaries at checkout.
Go
Don't
do that, guys.
To
get,
do
that
that.
Produce, get that produce. Mm-hmm, get that produce. Get that
produce. Weird looking produce still tastes good.
So you said your mom would probably not be cool with the egg donating thing.
Yeah.
Where would she land on, like from a an immigrant grandparent place on if you and your girlfriend were to have kids?
I think they'd be fine with it. I don't think that they would care too much if I did or didn't. I think in my mom's mind, before I came out, her only view of like a normal family or to be a person in society was to get married and have kids.
Right.
It's very important in Chinese culture to do that. That everything is about having kids. And now my sister has just had a baby. And
so
I watched
off for a minute.
Yeah. Well, she also, the other thing is like my mom never, she would occasionally be like, well, like inevitably she would say something along the lines of you're just going to get married and have kids. Cause like in her mind, there's no other option. Mm-hmm. You just have to do those things. But it didn't
even after you told her you were queer.
After I told her I was queer, she never really asked me about getting married. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or having kids.
I thought it was off the table.
I think so. And then also, like, I think she thinks my life is so weird that that's not a possibility.
It's so out of her box of what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she doesn't know. When I do things that I think she considers normal, she's like a little surprised.
Like what would she consider normal?
Like, I chose to go to law school without her pushing me to
do
it.
Right, and so she was
like,
pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, she's like, really? Are you sure?
And then does she just like often say, remember when you got a law degree and now you're... make a podcast?
She still asks me when I'm going to take the bar exam. But so I was watching my parents for the past like year because my sister got pregnant and she just gave birth like a week or 2 weeks ago.
Congrats.
Thank you. I have a nibbling. I'm very excited.
Oh. A nibbling?
Yeah.
It's like a niece. It's
like
a non-gender.
It's a non-gendered way of
like
saying.
I have
niece or,
never.
I just heard.
I've
it
never
recently.
Heard that term. Yeah. Oh,
it's
that's
instead
nice.
Of saying niece or nephew.
Yeah, I don't think it's like official or anything. Just like
it's just
I,
what it's
every
like,
once in a while, somebody will ask, like, is there another way to say niece and nephew?
Oh, you have a nibbling.
Nibbling. Elijah, and I just like watched my mom be like not so super excited about it.
Really?
Like she's like happy for her, but my mom is sort of like. When I asked her about it last time, she said something like, I already have a child at home, meaning my dad. I will babysit, but that's it.
So she's not like jumping into grandma.
No, not at all. And I was like kind of surprised. And also recently she's been saying things like, isn't it great to not have a husband?
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Because she has friends who have gotten divorced or I've never married. And it's like, so-and-so is just out there traveling and...
And then she just looks over at your dad.
Got this child at home.
That's hilarious. Mm. Now, you and your girlfriend, where are you guys in the chat about if you want to have kids?
We, at the moment, neither of us want to have kids.
Interesting. How old are you? Can we ask?
Sure.
How old?
Yeah. I'm 34.
Okay. So you, at this point, both don't really want to do it.
Yeah. The one thing I've always known about myself is I never wanted to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. I have no desire to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. That has never changed. And so I knew that if I was to have a partner who wanted to have a kid, either they would have to carry or we would adopt. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of always left it up to my partner to decide, because I'm also not like anti having kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think that if there's a kid in my life, that's fine. If there's not, that's fine.
It's kind of how you feel about egg donation too. Yeah. You're not one way or the other in any serious direction.
But I also think that if my partner wanted to have kids, I'd be in it like 100%.
You would.
Yeah.
So if she came to you tomorrow and said, I think I want to do this, let's do it. You would say yes.
Yeah. Cause like, I think, it would be like devastating for the kid if that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Don't do it if you don't want it. Or if you can't be present.
Right. So I think when I say that I don't currently want kids, I mean it more like I don't need to have it in my life, but I'm open to the possibility one day if that becomes true. I also am not against adopting a kid somewhere between 10 and 18. Mm-hmm. That's not a huge deal for me.
We're
going
to hook you up with Mary from You Gotta Believe.
It's an organization that puts teenagers in homes.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They only do teenagers.
Their whole goal is to make sure that to try to make sure no kid ages out of foster care without being in a home or adopted.
Oh, that's so great.
You should check it out.
I used to say this to a bunch of my friends because everybody, like I said, everybody thinks adoption's great. Nobody really does it that I know of. Mm-hmm. And then I would say something like I would adopt a kid at 16 or 17. And then the reaction they say is, oh, but they're ruined at that point.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like,
that's the perception.
Right. How could you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's easy.
Yeah.
Definitely not easy. Not easy at all.
I think it takes a certain kind of person to be able to do that. But I think anybody could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think, I'm curious about was there any, because it's so normalized for us, I mean, I guess it's fair to say it's normalized for us all having babies now. Did you feel like anybody was saying to you, are you guys going to have kids?
Do you get pressure?
No, I've never felt pressure from my family or from my friends who I grew up with. They're all straight and good portion of them are married and have kids.
And nobody asks you.
Nobody asks
you. Do you think because it's uncomfortable or they just assume you're not? Or
I think they just assume that I wouldn't. And I think here's the other thing I didn't say.
Here we go.
This is going to be another bombshell.
Sorry, I forgot.
I have triplets
that I accidentally had in college.
a thing that most of my friends know about me is that I don't really understand children.
Neither do we.
Love old people. They're my jam. Uh-huh. I would love to be in a retirement home, one day. Ugh, it's a dream. But kids, I'm sort of you don't understand me. I don't understand you. I don't know how to do kid talk. I don't know how much of what I'm saying you get. So I just generally avoid them.
Do you just talk really loudly?
You just avoid them. You just totally avoid them.
Yeah. So I think because of that, I've always been that way. Mm-hmm. Nobody really asked me whether or not I'm going to have kids. And I just never felt pressure to do it.
Mm-hmm. How about, I'm imagining you have a lot of queer friends.
Yeah.
Are any of your queer friends having kids yet?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And then it's a lot of talk about how expensive it is. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, a lot of my queer friends aren't adopting either. They're choosing to go what's the word for having your own kids? Is there a word?
Well, there's
for
IVF, there's IUI. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
There isn't really a phrase for I'm going to make my own genetic baby, there isn't really.
Or they call it naturally.
But it's not natural.
Yeah, it's not. Excuse
me. Oh, that's true.
Well, it could be.
They just need stuck the sperm in there for me.
You need a tool. Yeah. So it's not the natural way, I suppose.
You're not doing it to make a baby.
You could be doing it, but you still need a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then to say our way, it's like saying our way of having sex is not natural. That's not cool to say.
Do you both get asked a lot about how you had your kid?
Yes, this is something we talk about a lot. And Robin sums it up very well. It's everybody
they wait until they've had two drinks at the party before they go, I didn't want to ask.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So we wrote a book.
We wrote a book about it. Or you get asked, so who's the real mom? That does happen.
God, yeah. That's horrible.
That's
I
a bad
literally
one.
Don't care.
Yeah. I don't, not only do I not care where it came from, I don't care about your baby. In fact, your baby's in the way.
I only asked because I think I heard that that gets asked a lot. Like, well, how did you do it? Mm-hmm. Who did it?
I tend at this point to just throw it into conversation so that it saves people having to like wonder. I and also see. My kids look like kind of identical to me. So it's like, you know, I think people assume. But
gotcha.
I think people assume that I had both.
Well, you all look alike, you, your wife, and your children. Yeah. All of you guys all look the same.
A little incestuous. Yeah. But, it's a little... but I think people assume I had both. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Maybe they don't.
Anne's probably listening to this in her.
She's like, what?
On the train. Like, what is she talking about? People ask me all the time. Sorry, Anne. I'm getting a text right now from her. Oh, yeah? And you're the only one who had the kids, huh? Like, so only people think you did.
You could keep them. I asked my aunt. How'd they do?
That was like worse than mine. Yeah, I always make Anne sound like a trucker from Queens.
I took an imitation of Jamie doing an imitation of Anne. That's really what that was.
Oh, wow.
Well, how'd I do?
That's a layer.
How'd I do?
How'd I do? She's from Queens and she has a bit of an accent, but nothing like I put on her.
Very similar. Well, I think what's interesting is I feel like almost like in the way that like when we were coming out, there was like we were in separate bars and then your friends were separated in a lot of ways. It feels like this has just become like this younger generation has become just like a mixture of everything. Like it's the queer thing doesn't matter. It's all just like your friends and the baby thing almost doesn't matter. And I think I find that comforting in some way. Like nobody's putting any pressure on you. Like no one's ignoring you as not having a baby. They're not like when they used to just be like, never say anything because they expected you couldn't have a baby and nobody's pressuring you. It's just there and you can do you. I think that's, I don't know. I find that comforting in some way.
There's been a little bit of something I've been working towards is because my parents, especially my mom, always talked about like the concept of your kids taking care of your parents or yourself when you're older. Mm-hmm. That's like very common in Taiwan, at least.
Right, totally.
And there's an issue right now where in China, because of the one child policy,
right.
One couple ends up taking care of four parents. You know what I mean? Like, because you got both of them living with you now.
Right.
So that's very difficult economically to make that happen. My parents always sort of like talked about how we would take care of them when we're older. And I think that got ingrained in my head. And every once in a while, when I think about whether or not I'm going to have kids, and I'm like, I don't, but who's going to take care of me when I'm older?
Well, that's interesting.
But
it's so deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm trying to work towards like,
it's
not
even
thinking.
Yours. It was given to you by your mom. That's what's so interesting.
Yeah. And I was, for a while, I was like, well, yeah, who is going to take care of me? But then I was like, I can just build a system that works to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You get like, that insurance?
Yeah. I don't need
it. Get it figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I figure it out now, get myself some life insurance.
Don't burden anyone.
Yeah.
Get that law degree so you can pay for that like home insurance. Because that's
what
that
my mom
level.
Would love for me to do. But that law degree has done nothing right now.
So
I'm just podcasting.
But it's not just you're famous, Kathy, too.
Within a very small circle.
Yeah, that's big. Just saying. It's big. You get recognized.
Someone came up to you at the
we don't get recognized.
Cafe in the neighborhood.
We don't get recognized.
And then I left you there. I was like, by the way, I was literally like, that guy could have killed you. I'm so sorry.
I did appreciate that email. Yeah. Oh. Thank you.
It's true. I left her with a stranger.
Yeah.
But I wonder. So, but do you feel pressure to take care of your parents? Is that in you? So
are you?
But you have two siblings.
I have.
But are you the one that's going to take care of the parents?
Here's the weird ass thing. I was the one that was like the problem growing up. Like. My sister didn't get in trouble. She did everything my mom told her to do for the most part. Like my mom's a nurse. Told my sister to become a nurse. My sister became a nurse. They have a hard time communicating with my brother. Mm-hmm. And so they just support whatever he does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was one that was like, I want to do this. And they're like, don't do that. And I want to go here. And they're like, maybe don't go. You might die. And I did those things anyway. And like at that point, I was just doing the things I want to do and telling them about it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how I did too.
It's just easier.
Yep.
And then being queer, that was a difficult thing to get through. But like, at the end of the day, it turns out I'm like the most reliable one.
Right.
Like they live in California. My sister and my brother are within an hour's drive. They call me for issues and I'm in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to fix either Wi-Fi or to like tell my brother something or like, or to like order something that they need. Mm-hmm. It's it somehow ended up being me. So like by the process of elimination, I am their favorite child. And
it's amazing.
And once I did
the process of elimination.
my mom always said that my dad loves me the most. And I was like, yeah, that's probably true. And then once my mom was having surgery and she was a little bit drugged up and I was like, am I your favorite? And she said, yes.
Of course. So now that's going to the grave.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah, you know.
You always knew it in your heart anyway. Yeah. You could feel it.
And so I and my girlfriend, I've talked about this. And because for some reason, my girlfriend has now really embodied Asian culture.
She really has with the Mandarin and the.
Yeah. I think we've both like understood, like if there comes a point where my parents need to live with us, like that's just going to have to happen.
Would they move here?
I would move back to California. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
So, and my mom at this point, she doesn't talk about us taking care of them. She's just like, all I want is like a little house and a little bit of spending money. And then she looks at all of us. But that's all I want. Just like a couple thousand.
No pressure. With the eyes.
Yeah.
But you don't think that pressure, and I don't even know if it's a pressure on you, but like you don't think that plays into you and your journey towards kids or not kids?
I don't know. I feel like no. I want to say no just because I can figure out a way to make that happen with myself. And I think truly if I was to have kids, it would be because of my partner if they wanted a kid, which currently she does not.
So. Well, what we're going to need from you
is
updates on when a child knocks on your door after doing 23andMe.
Sure.
We're going to need updates if you change your mind and decide you want to have babies.
I will send you a selfie of us.
Yeah.
And then like at the insemination place. or when your parents move in with you. We're going to need updates on all those.
Hopefully that's a long ways from now.
I hope so too.
You got time.
I'm just worried that my dad's going to retire and be very bored. Because when he gets bored, he gets a little bit like paranoid. His current hobby is security cameras. They have a house in the suburbs and he has like 8 security cameras on.
As you do.
And so he just sits and he's like clicking between all the views.
Yes.
The multi-screen.
He loves it. And when the cameras don't work, guess who he calls?
Of course.
Kathy.
Now you say you're not that close, but you sound very close.
I know.
I guess we just, when I think of like a family that's close, they're like talking about more feelings and like what you're disappointed by, what makes you happy. Like I've learned at this point that I don't really share things that make me happy with them because they're not going to share the same level of excitement with me. So
well, like culturally, that's not like a thing though, is it?
It's
like,
not. Yeah. It's not. The way we show that we care about each other is that we take care of each other. Right. So I fix their problems. They fix my problems. Sort of like that.
So you're close in your own way.
Yeah. Definitely not in like the American sense, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
Of course. This is fascinating. I'm surprised.
Opening your mind's eye?
And I was like, wait, I was this. And wait, I don't feel this way about that.
Wait, I was an egg donor.
Yeah.
I know. I couldn't be more flabbergasted that came up in this conversation, but I loved
it. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
No. It's okay. Does your girlfriend know?
Yeah, she knows. Yeah. I actually recently posted about it in our Facebook group, our Friends of Nancy Facebook group. And, people were surprised there too, which makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's not something you assume about someone.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I bet she's an egg donor.
What's great though is each time that you do it, they up the donation fee just by a little bit. And that covered all of my undergrad student loans.
Wow.
That's so nice.
Yeah,
that's a good chance.
Actually, that's how you get into debt with law school.
Yeah. So actually, now that I think about it, it wasn't that much money in undergrad when I got my law school debt.
Yeah.
Right. So, but at least it helped you in some way.
It definitely helped. Yeah.
Well, tell our listeners where they can hear you, reach out to you.
We are Nancy Podcast and all the social media places and nancypodcast.org and all your general listening apps is a lot. There's a lot out there.
There's so many. And they're really great. They're really great.
Yeah.
Well produced. Good stories.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
This is so much fun. I never thought I would enjoy talking about like having kids.
Oh, look at that.
I mean, we try to make it fun,
changing
Kathy.
The world one this queer
is,
at a time.
This is fun. This is fun.
Yay. Yeah.
Oh my God. That was so good. Mm-hmm.
Kathy too.
I love her.
Oh, Kathy.
Can you believe she forgot about donating eggs? Like how do you forget I donated eggs.
I know. And that she just remembered in our conversation. That's the, and because we've been talking to her about coming on the podcast. So you'd think that she would have, that it might have occurred.
Yeah. But I think I can't stop thinking about it though. It's like how I would be thinking
about the babies
about
out there,
kids out there. And yeah. She doesn't seem to be.
No.
I mean, by the way, that's awesome. That's the person who should donate eggs.
It's exactly. She's the exact right person to donate eggs.
Yeah.
And so those of you who are afraid to use an egg donor, just know that there are people out there who really, it's just, they're just donating eggs. It's not like.
I was like, where are you going with that? I was
curious. No, because like, I would be worried.
Oh, afraid they're going to like. That hand the rocks the cradle, try to take your baby.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd be worried about that at all, actually, because I know that there's like legal things in place, but
like
I don't know.
Lots, I think. It's just like a sperm donor.
Yeah.
Do
I don't even know. I don't know where I was going
it
with that.
It felt like you had a really good point, though, for a minute.
I think I had a point for a sec.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was with you.
But it's interesting that she, yeah, everybody's different. Everybody's so different.
Yeah. That was a great interview. All right, folks. Well, listen, don't forget about our Instagram giveaway. You got to follow us
get
before the
swag.
End of January. And you're
get
gonna
those
be
stickers.
Entered in to get the swag. That single pin that we have for you.
We could give you more than one.
We only have a couple, Jamie. But the winner's going to be announced in our first show in February. So if you want to hear your name on the show, enter. It's ovaries _ talk.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
That's Instagram. Also, you could join us on Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk, or Twitter, Ovaries Talk. We also have a Facebook group, If These Ovaries Could Talk, private group.
Yeah, yeah, join in there. And also, don't forget, if you can join our Patreon community, Kathy's going to be talking about the moment that they created Nancy, and that content, it's a video of her. Come on over to our Patreon community, patreon.com/ovariestalk, and we've just got all kinds of extra bonus content there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every guest that's been on has a little bonus video. Most
give or
guests.
Take.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Since we started Patreon.
And thank you to our sponsors.
Grove.co, ClassPass, and Imperfect Foods.
You guys help us make this show possible, and so we thank you.
We
don't
really
forget to
do.
Use those OCT codes where applicable.
OCT, baby. Right. I guess that's it. I guess,
I'm
well,
exhausted.
Until next week, friends.
That was so weird. Okay.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say...
Ovaries out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.